I wanted to discuss tonight a topic which is very connected to the Parsha. Yisro is really the first time we encounter the concept of Geirus. And what's interesting is if you go through even just the regular Pashut chat of the story of what was going on with the Mefarshim on the Torah, so a lot of halachic shailas that Batei Dinim, even nowadays that we deal with, that Batei Dinim deal with, really come out from the regular story of Parshas Yisro, what existed in the first ger that we know of in Parshas Yisro. One of the first issues that come up going through the Parshas, the pasuk starts off by Yishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosi Moshe as Kol Asher Saw Elohim LeMoshe LeYisrael Amo Ki Hotzi Adonai Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim. So the Torah gives some background and says that Yisro came from Midian. He was a priest in Midian, Chos in Moshe, and we'll see why that's important. It's relevant to say that he was Kohen Midian. And he heard a lot about what was going on. Rashi tells us he heard about Melchames Amalek, he heard about Kriyas Yamsop, he heard a lot of big things that went on. The Pasuk speaks about the fact that he heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So there are a lot of big shmuas that he heard about. A lot was occurring. A lot of fast things were happening in the last couple of weeks with Klal Yisrael. And this poses a major problem when it comes to Hilchos Geirus. Because if you look at the first of the Maror Makomos, the sugya there is discussing a person who is Megayer, but he had a relationship, he had a girlfriend with this non-Jewish woman beforehand. If a person is Megayer for alternative reasons, he is not necessarily, you know, he presents to the Beis Din that he has ulterior motives. So that presents an issue.
He is Megayer for the purpose of marrying a Jewish girl.
That could be the case, yeah. That's the normal case. Or if both a man and woman Megayer, but classically, let's say you have a guy and a girl who are dating, and the mother says you can't marry the guy until he's Jewish. You know, you can't marry a non-Jewish woman. So he wants to be Megayer because, you know, that's the only way he's going to marry. So that presents an issue. So I wanted to look at this issue, but while we go through the sugya, there's going to be an issue. Yisro wasn't being Megayer for relationship purposes. However, the Gemara includes within this issue, the Gemara discusses, if you look at the first of the Maror Makomos in the Gemara says, Hagioris Miahavya. The Mishnah presents that if you had a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, so once they are Megayer, you shouldn't stay with that relationship. And the Gemara says, okay, so we shouldn't stay in the relationship. It doesn't look very nice if we keep our relationship continuing once she is Megayer. But the Gemara says, Hagioris Miahavya. But you're telling me that actually the Geirus is valid? It actually takes effect? So the Gemara asks, Ech Urmini, we seem to have a brisa that presents the opposite. Echad Ishin es Gair L'shem Isha, Ve'echad Ishishin es Gair L'shem Ish, V'chein Mishin es Gair L'shem Shulchan Malachim, L'shem Avdei Shlomo, Einim Gairim, Divrei Rav Nechemia. Shehayu Rav Nechemia Omer, it's not true. If a Gair has ulterior motives, if it's for a male purpose, for a relationship with a male, or for a woman, or for wealth, Shulchan Malachim, or for other ulterior motives, so Rav Nechemia says he's not a ger. Echad giyore arayos, ve'echad giyore chalomos, ve'echad geyre Mordechai ve'Esther. Anytime in those times, einan geyren achi is geru b'zman hazeh. And the Gemara goes on and says, if you skip two lines, ein mekablen geyren limos haMashiach. When Mashiach will come, and everything will be so great, and everything will be so good for the Jews because we solved all our problems. Mashiach came, and you know we're the upper nation. We have the upper hand now. And now suddenly the geyren want to come into Klal Yisrael. No, not so fast. Where were you 50 years ago? You know this is you can't just come into the Jewish nation when things are easy. The Gemara says we don't accept those geyren. So the Gemara has a question. So how did we accept all the geirim's bezman hazeh? How do we accept the geirim in the Mishnah if it was technically a geiris for an ulterior motive for a relationship? So if you go back, ha'itmar Allah, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Masmer Shteir Rav, halach k'divrei olam kulam geirim him. You're right. Reb Nechemia, as it presented in the first half of the Gemara, is the one who holds that there's an ulterior motive. These people are not geirim. But we, and this is very important, halach l'maisa, we paskin like the shita that's cholik on Rebbe Nechemia, and we hold even if there's an ulterior motive, technically they are geirim. Now let me explain what that means. Meaning, it's still true that we're not going to be mekabel ger and limos Mashiach. Lichatchila, the Bezdin should not get involved in these issues. If they see an ulterior motive in front of them, there is a technically a problem with them to be megayer. However, if the gerus takes place, they're considered gerim.
That's in other words, we'll try to convince them and push them away.
So the question is why? If the gerus is a good gerus, so why do we lichatchila say not to? The Rashba says, well, you want to know lechachila, why not to? You want it? The Gemara says the reason is the Amar of Asi, there are going to be rumors going around. So the Rashba says, what are the rumors? The rumors are going to be that the reason they were megayer is for ulterior motives, for the relationship, for the girlfriend that he had when he was non-Jewish. So Reb Chaim Ozer, and one of the most famous tshuvas that deals with this issue, he is one of the most famous tshuvas on this issue that's dealt with even Bizman Azeh with Geirus Shailos. He asked the question, this is circular. The Gemara tells us that we're paskening that technically they are Geir. Even if there are ulterior motives, even if he had a relationship, even if he had a girlfriend when she was not Jewish. So technically they're Geirim, but the Evid they're Geirim. So what's the Gzeira? The Gzeira is maybe they're going to say, people are going to say that she was Megaya Lashinishas. So Chaim Ozer says, and then the rumors are technically, halakhically saying, that it's a good Geirus. Because Geirus Lashem Yishus, we paskin a lot like Rav Nechemia, we say that this is good Geirus. So then why is it an issue? Why are we even bothered lechatchila, as Rav Chaim Ozer? We shouldn't even be bothered at all, because technically it's a good Geirus. So the rumors are that this is a good Geirus. We're not concerned with that type of rumors.
But the rumors are that?
That people are going to say that there was Geirus Lashem Yishus. So what's...
This is not yet the rumor. You're missing a piece of the rumor.
What?
The rumor is that he doesn't want to really be a Jew.
Oh, but if the rumor is that, but that's not the case, the Asher Chaim Ozer. Meaning, if we consider that that's really valid Geirus, even if it is Geirus Lashonishus, and we know that they have an ulterior motive, and we know that the reason they were Megayer is really for a relationship with a woman, but that's technically considered good Geirus. So then there's not going to be a rumor. There shouldn't even be an Esser Lechatchila. So I think you're touching on really the next point. The way that Reb Chaim Ozer answers this is that it's not true. We're misunderstanding. Really, even according to Shitas Chachamim, you have to ensure and you have to make sure that a person that says that the Geirus is valid technically, it's not because we ignore a person's intentions. It's not because we totally ignore the fact that there was ulterior motives. No, we assume that those ulterior motives is not really going to present a problem. That really deep down this person really wants to be a Geir. However, explains Reb Chaim Ozer, even if Shitas Chachamim, for instance, if I buy something in the store, explains Reb Chaim Ozer, right? Let's say I sell you a car. I sell you a car because I'm thinking that I'm going to go on Aliyah and I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And then it turns out I had a job in Eretz Yisrael, it fell apart, and it's not going to work out, and I need my car back. Do we say that invalidates the sale? Absolutely not. There was no stipulation made. And the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, Dvarim Shebalev Einam Dvarim. Something that I didn't stipulate and was only in my mind is not going to hinder the transaction when it comes to Kinyanin. However, explains Reb Chaim Ozer, when it comes to Geirus, that's not the case. When it comes to Geirus, the whole aspect of conversion is the Kabbalah belief, is the fact that Dvarim Shebalev here, Havei Dvarim. If you're not sincere in accepting the halachos of Am Yisrael, of the Torah, so then the Geirus is invalid. So therefore, comes along Reb Chaim Ozer, says it's impossible for you to say that according to Chachamim, and even though the Gemara presents that the Geirus is valid, b'di'eved, it's not because we're ignoring his Dvarim Shebalev. It's not because we say he doesn't really need to accept it. It's because we assume, unless anything else is presented in front of us, we assume that he really wants to be Mekabo. We assume that these ulterior motives are not going to create a problem. However, if anything is shown to the Beis Din, that seems to remove that assumption, that removes that umdana, and shows that their only sole purpose, that he was Megayer, and he's really not sincere about this Geirus, then the whole Geirus goes out the window. Reb Chaim Ozer goes on to be Mechadish, a big Chiddush, and he says that there are certain aspects in Halacha that if we see immediately after the Geirus, he's not following, And it's not necessarily the most severe things in halacha. If he doesn't keep kashrus, he doesn't keep taras mishpacha, he doesn't keep Shabbos, these three halachas, he says, you see that it wasn't sincere. You see that his Kabbalah wasn't there, and even according to the other opinion in the Gemara, even according to the Gemara that says, according to Rabbanan, Gerish L'Shem Ishus, and for ulterior motives was kasher, but that's only because we assume there was a correct Kabbalah. That's only, and therefore, l'chatchila, there are problems here. L'chatchila, we really don't want to get into problems of people saying that there was Geiris L'Shem Ishus, and Reb Chaim Ozer has a beautiful diyuk, because you can't really understand the Rambam otherwise.
And is there any...
Is the Geiris null and void? Mm.
If it shows after the fact that he wasn't sincere ever, so the Geiris null and void, that's exactly what Reb Chaim Ozer comes to say. He explains...
What about the option that he will evolve into it? In other words... It is overwhelming him. He cannot find a way of stopping doing what
he wants. So Reb Chaim Ozer says that he has. When you're mekabel mitzvahs, you have to be mekabel all 613 mitzvahs. There's no chutz, even lashon hara. You can't not accept a mitzvah. I can't say I'm going to be a Jew for this amount of mitzvahs. Judaism doesn't exist like that. Judaism is 613 mitzvahs. But then you'll say to me, but he's no better than the Beis Din. The Beis Din just spoke lashon hara. We all. There are certain things where we're unfortunately not able to be makpid. So if in his Kabbalah he really sincerely accepts everything and he thinks there is a mitzvah here that I have to work on and I have to try to strive to be successful at, and his Kabbalah and he's accepting it sincerely, so then he's a valid Jew. And then Reb Chaim Ozer says, and if he keeps these Iker three halachos, so we know he was sincere. If he doesn't keep Lashon Hara, okay, that doesn't tell us that, you know, he's no better than the guy down the street who doesn't keep Lashon Hara.
I thought the reason we allow them to pursue Geirus, even though we know they're ulterior motives, is because the process will hopefully draw him into to the real true purpose.
Right, so that's not where Reb Chaim Ozer presents.
But otherwise, there'd be very few, I'm sure a lot of Geirus, when they start, probably do have some ulterior motives, or they're probably
right.
At least there must be some other factors
right.
involved.
Right.
If we all had that.
So I'm saying the ulterior motive doesn't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily damage the Kabbalah right. if you show it's sincere.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. Meaning that if you read in the next,
I'll say I wish I could.
Right. If you read in the next Rambam, the Rambam seems very problematic, and this is a very big problem when it comes to Hilchos Geirus. The Rambam says, Lefichach Lo kiblu based in Gerim kol yimei David v'shlomo, like represented when things were glorious for the Jews. We don't lechatchila accept Gerim in those times. Bimei David shemem and apachat chazru. There were chashos. Bimei Shlomo shemem v'shvila malchus v'atova agdola shayi b'Yisrael chazru. And in the time of Shlomo, things were really good for the Jews, and there was a lot of wealth. Maybe that's why they came. For any one of these reasons of the world, if he has ulterior motives, Eino, and says the Rambam, Megere Hatzedek. He's not a righteous convert. So Reb Chaim Ozer says the Rambam seems to use a very interesting language when it comes to this halacha. If you go to Halacha Yitzayin, the Rambam says, Ger Shalom Barchu Acharav, someone we didn't check into, O Shalom Idiyo Mitzvos, Va'onshan Molotovo, and he went through the Mila and Fila, Hareze Ger. Afilu know that even if we find out, Shabashil Davarish Hu Misgayer, even if we find out that his original, at the time of the Geirus, he had ulterior motives like a girlfriend, Holu Mol Vatovo, Yatsa Mechlala Aakum, V'choshishin Lo, Hachi Yispar Tzidkaso. And he's technically Jewish, explains Reb Chaim Ozer. However, Choshishin Lo, we're a little bit worried, Achi Yispar Tzidkaso. So the Rambam says, maybe you should stay away from him if he had those ulterior motives, because what Reb Chaim Ozer says is, technically, his whole Geirus could go up in flames. Meaning, if he shows that everything that was there that was not sincere Kabbalah, so even according to the Shittos that we paskin, like the Gemara says, a Ger who had ulterior motives, technically it is Gerus. And it really harays a Ger, like the Gemara says. However, we ask the question, but it seems to be lechatchila, there's something we're worried about. And the Rishonim explained, we're worried that maybe people are going to say that he was Megayer for ulterior motives. But we ask that circular, because a person who's Megayer who converts for ulterior motives is technically a Ger. So what do we care if people talk about that? So the answer is because it's not necessarily something we don't have to worry about. Because technically, if it comes out and he presents to us that he never had a sincere Kabbalah and he never had the Devarim Shebileiv, so then he's not a Ger, he's not Jewish. It's only that we have the ability to ignore the ulterior motives if he's sincere and he actually is Mekabel HaMitzvos and he does become a Jew. And that's why the Rambam says, technically, we have an Umdana and Chazal, we assume that this person is sincere. And hopefully we have no reason to assume that these ulterior motives is actually going to cause a problem. However, the Rambam says, because there's that chance, Eino Megeri Tzedek, the Choshishin Lo, and we're worried about it. So therefore, you have to check into it. And before you're going to get involved, you're going to make a shidduch with this person, make sure that you know that he was sincere, and he really is acting like a Jew, so that in further, what Reb Chaim Holder is saying, in the future, he's not going to totally uproot his whole Geirus, because technically, that's what Reb Chaim Holder is mechadish. Even according to us who paskin, Geirus l'shem ishus, or for ulterior motives, technically that he is a Ger, but there could be, if he shows that he wasn't sincere, technically that Geirus can totally be uprooted because he shows that he never had a Kabbalah. And when it comes to Geirus, explains Reb Chaim Moser, Dvarim Shebelev Havei Dvarim. And therefore, we now can understand Lechatchila, why we say in certain times, Bimei David Ushlomo, when there are all these ulterior motives, even though technically a person is a valid Ger once the conversion process happens, but maybe there's something to be worried about. There is something that we have to be worried about, that he wasn't sincere. And later on, it could possibly be that he's not a Ger. And that's why the Rambam says he's not immediately a Ger Tzedek. Because we don't know what the story with him is. And there's no insurance policy when it comes to this Ger. Because he had ulterior motives. And if it was just for the ulterior motives, we wouldn't be worried. But the ulterior motives might be reflective of his Kabbalah and his sincerity of whether he wants to be a Jew. So therefore, we have a big issue over here. It comes out, we just explained, whether or not you want to explain it in terms of a girlfriend, which is more common in Gerim B'zman HaZeh, but Pashup Shad in Yisro, Rav Shlomo Gansfried, the Mechaber, the author of the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, he wrote a Sefer Al HaTorah called Apirion Shlomo. He asks, the Panim Yafos, we're more familiar with his Sefer, on Ksubis Hafla, some learn his Sefer on Kiddushin, the Sefer Amakne. Hafla was one of the Rebbeim of the Chassam Sofer. He wrote a Sefer Al HaTorah Panim Yafos. They all asked the question, I don't understand, how did we accept Yisrael to be a Ger? What does Rashi say at the beginning of this week's Parsha? Mashmu Shama, Shama Milchamas Amalek, Shama Kriyas Yamsuf. The Pasuk said he heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't get better than this. Cholesterol is in its highest state. This is clear the ulterior motives. And we accept Yisrael to be a Ger? How do we accept this? It seems to be against the Gemara.
The Pashtut, if you accept it, that he can get, he was convinced after worshipping God that this is the right God.
Oh, so
that's even worse.
So it could be, and I want to say it a little better. He was also a chush of a person. So explains the Panim Yafos, and this is the first aspect of Geirus that I think is really relevant in this week's parasha. That's relevant to Halacha Lamaisa. That's why the Torah explains that he was Kohen Nidyan. He was a high officer in his old age. He was the Gemara in Yevamos asks Shlomo on Daf Ayin Vav. The Gemara says Shlomo Amelech converted Bas Paro, right? And the Gemara asks, how? Lo kibul gerim, lo bimei David, lo bimei Shlomo. Shlomo Melech was living during a beautiful time period. How is he megayer him? So the Gemara says, what's the reason we prohibit the megayer lechadchila? Because of the ulterior motives that we're worried about? Because of the Shulchan Malachim. Bas Paro, halo tzrichalei. Bas Paro had all the wealth beforehand. You don't have to worry about Bas Paro. So explains the Panim Yafos, explains the Apirion Shlomo, the Shlomo Gansfried. That's why the Torah has to tell us Yisro was Kohen Midyan. Yisro had it all in the past. He wasn't coming for any good. He was coming because he was sincere. There's an insurance policy on this gear. We don't have to worry about Reb Chaim Moser's issues when it comes to this gear. We don't have to worry about the ulterior motives because he had everything. And the Rinas Yitzchak says a similar idea, and he says the answer to this question is not because of Kohen Midyan. He takes a different approach. He says, because he presents But Yishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosi Moshe Eskol Asher Asa Elohim. All of what Hashem did. Not only the good. He also heard about the Sheba and Mitzrayim. He also knew the downfalls of Klal Yisrael. He's very well versed in the history of Am Yisrael. He's not only coming here because of the good things. And if Moshe Rabbeinu was presented with this type of person, a Kohen Midyan according to the Panim Yafos, or according to the Rinas Yitzchak, as Kol Asher Asa, so this type of person we can assume, he's Nigeri Tzedek. He's a sincere Jew, and there's nothing l'chatchila to be worried about, the ulterior motives, the Geiris L'Shem Ishus, that Reb Chaim Ozer presented to us, that when it comes to other Geirim, halachically we do have to worry about, and we do have to take into account, and that's how we understand the issue of Lo Kidlu Geirim B'Mos HaMashiach, or Lo Kidlu Geirim B'Mei David U'Shlomo. That is the first halacha l'maisa issue that is very, very relevant, and we're not going through all the pratim. There are other issues that I don't have the time to go into, that the Beis Din has to take into account, which Reb Chaim Ozer develops in the Tshuva, whether or not to accept Geirim that are involved in relationships. There are reasons why Beis Din, Batei Dinim, it's not, do get involved, it's not for the issue now, but again, it's important to know the Parshat Shat, that the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs has to be sincere. It's not that we just don't paskin like Rabbi Nechemia, and we paskin like Chachamim, and we say, oh, Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, yeah, that's for the Chumras, that's for the... No! If you're not sincere in the Geirus, even according to Chachamim, that's going to uproot the Geirus, and that Varm shall believe here, Havid Varm. It's not like a transaction of selling the car when you go on Aliyah there in Israel. Your lathe is what's Iker, it's the main driving when it comes to Geirus. So therefore, we have to know that you actually are sincere.
So why
do you
think before Shabbos Kasher
Tavis? So Chaim Ozer, in developing that Shuva, he has a Chiddush. He has a big Chiddush, and he says that in our days is what defines. We know that this person is actually acting like a Jew when it comes to those three mitzvahs. It's a fascinating Chiddush, but he says, and it might change in every generation. It's a huge Chiddush. So that's a very good question.
In order to answer, it will be watching television.
So that's a good question. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. You have to know.
What's the question?
What?
What's the question?
What?
Very good question. What's the question?
I mean, the Batei Dinim have to deal with these issues. They definitely
what issues?
The question of these three mitzvahs is something that Reb Chaim Ozer was mechadish. That defines what a Jew is, and it is a chiddush, but he thought that in terms of the shaila, I just wanted to get back. You asked, well, what about if a person, you know, if there's a time frame? So Rabbi Schechter quotes from Rav. He heard a psak from Rav Unterman that Rav Unterman said that if a person within 30 days already didn't, you know, like let's say a person kept for a long time, and he for 5 years, and then he started slacking off a little bit. So then I don't think we assume that he wasn't mekabel, but Rav Unterman came up with a psak that if you didn't keep for 30 days, so then maybe, you know, after 30 days, you know, I don't know.
The first of the immediately after the guilt.
Yeah, but Rav Schechter said he wasn't necessarily convinced that there was necessarily a shear of 30 days. You might think it's not going to be as long as 5 years, but maybe it will be a few months. 30 days, he didn't know. He wasn't really necessarily convinced. The problem is that the poskim don't really necessarily discuss it, and it's not really clear, and that's why it's a question up in the air. And some of these questions are really not clear, but it's important to know that it is an issue.
Well, but I don't understand what you're saying. If he, the day after the Geirut, he was very excited, he was very elated.
And then he stopped.
And he stopped keeping Shabbos, yeah. And he had kashrut. A week later, he lost his enthusiasm.
Right. So Rav Unterman would say that seems
so
to show that...
So the 30 days are lechumra.
Right. Exactly.
Lechula.
Exactly. Well, it could be... Right.
No, on the other hand, he never started and he gave him 30 days to start.
I mean, it could be a lekula also.
After the day,
it could be a lekula also, as long as he only kept 30 days, so then he could still be a Jew.
Oh, I see.
And also depends if lekula or lechumra is Jew, is it being a Jew a chumra or a kula?
Are you going to touch upon...
But that the Gemara already deals with.
Are you going to touch upon Geri Katan at all?
Not really.
Because I was going to ask, because my question really was going to be, like, make, a lot of times you have, like, where you have that, as a couple, and the parents are the kid,
right.
You know, and then at 13, supposedly they're supposed to be re-mikabel.
Like Mara says, right, Ger Kotim at the owners of the basin, and when he becomes a couple, he's allowed right. to be mocha.
So 13 is a very young age in today's society.
Correct.
Make a decision like that.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, what thing when he becomes 17, right. 18, when they became typical defiant teenagers,
right.
or whatever it is. So then all of a sudden he doesn't want
to be. There's a debate amongst the Rishonim, and it's actually a machlokas halach lamaisa how to go about this, but there's a debate amongst the Rishonim how to understand the Nakamar and Ksuvis. What does that mean? When he becomes 13, so we go over with the video cameras and we ask him the question of the century, are you going to be a Jew or not? Or, you know, some Rishonim say it like that. He has to have a formal decision and he has to say, I decide to be a Jew from now on. I'm actually going to continue in my lifestyle. Or no, we don't necessarily need a Kabbalah at the age of 13. Just he has to continue as he was living. And he doesn't, as long as he's not mocha and he doesn't chuck at all, so then that's enough for us to live. And I think that might even be a debate, halacha l'maisa, a distinction between a lot of the Batidim in America and the Batidim in Eretz Yisrael. I think Rebbe Yashiv, I heard from our chef that Rebbe Yashiv says that you have to actually ask the people at the age of 13. I think Rebbe Shechter said that the minhag here is not
necessary. It's all the pedotype.
Yeah, exactly right.
Is it in a fake speaker, meaning that Shloshim Yom, you're not sure if they have children, now does the...
through other fact.
In other words, does the next generation automatically have a shame suffix to it because, you know, what the parents did, according to Rabbi Lipman's Pesach?
I was thinking they had children after they were Mekira?
Yeah, but now
they couldn't have children within 30 days.
No. They had 21 days they kept the Yiddish guy.
Yeah.
And then on day number 23, they decide, forget about it.
And now
the kids grew up and they assume that they are Jewish.
But the kids are from when?
From
afterwards.
But 20 years later, the child comes to you and says, what's my status?
It's a good question. I'm telling you, they're not.
No, the question is, if it's a deraisa or derabbanan, if it's a rabbanan and you have a suffix, you have two spakers.
No, so again, Reb Chaim Ozer said the fact that he doesn't keep everything. You know, we have a hard time with everything, but Reb Chaim Ozer says if he keeps the basics, then it shows us that he really still wants to be a Jew. So Reb Chaim Ozer says, so then we could still assume that he's a Jew. But if he kept it for one day and then he just. He throws up everything and he shows that his Kabbalah was never sincere, so then you can't say that he was a
Gair. My question is, so is it when the child's conceived or when the child is born that makes the child a Jew?
Oh, so we're going to get to that later. It's a very, very good question, and it's for another way.
Yeah.
Why does it matter what others think?
It might be my clothes Tosas and the Ramban. Yeah.
Why are we even concerned about why it seems like the primary?
The Gemara quotes a pasuk that you shouldn't have. You should be worried about doing things about the way. It's a good point.
In other words, the questionable gamers, the motives of those becoming gamers,
right.
is the concern that others will think that less.
Right. No. I understand what you're saying. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk here from Rav Asi. You should stay away from things that people are gonna talk about. Yeah. Okay. So that is the first issue that is very relevant. We're not getting in again. This is not halacha l'maisa. We're not passing anything. Everything has to be addressed by a competent rav and a competent bezdin.
But there's no such a thing.
But these are just some of the issues that I thought were very relevant to discuss, and it's very fascinating how it just comes out of the first pasuk in the Torah dealing with a major, major issue with Geirus and what's going to happen to Mos HaMashiach and the issues with Kabbalah of Geirus. The next issue that I want to discuss is also a fascinating, fascinating debate, which really comes up through the Torah, through the Parsha as well. There was a major, major debate in the time of Rav Chaim Ozer, which was must have been you know, in the last. You must have written this tshuva in the last 100 years.
Well, her mother was in Europe before the Second World War.
Right, and I'm saying it was very, it wasn't so recent. And Sridhar Ishe had spoke about this as well, which he had a correspondence with Reb Chaim Moser about this issue. There, Reb Chaim Moser was collecting money in Europe, and he was in Russia. The Shuva says he was in different towns in Russia, and he stayed by someone's house, and the person presented to him the psak that they got from the Zecher Yitzchak. Zecher Yitzchak was a real Talmud Chacham. When Reb Chaim, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik was the Rav's father. When Reb Chaim was trying to find a job for Reb Moshe, the Rav's father, so he said, he's the best Talmud, he's the biggest Talmud Chacham like that there is. You have to give him a job. And they asked him, is he as big as the Zecher Yitzchak? He says, Chas v'shal. The Zecher Yitzchak was really something. He was Reb Chaim's Chabrus. He was really miyuchad. He was called the Zecher Yitzchak from Panovich. Reb Yitzchak Rabinowitz. So he had a tshuva, and he said, what happens if you have a ger? The gerus is, there are three components of the gerus b'zman hazeh. You have mila, circumcise yourself. You have to get circumcised. The bezdin has to be present by the circumcision. Tvila, you have to go into the mikvah. And you have kabbalah samitzvahs. What happens if you have a hemophiliac? A person that can't bleed. So what do you do?
He can't be circumcised because he cannot clot. He bleeds.
He dangers his life if he bleeds. Yeah. So what happens to such a person? How do you do the mila? So Rav Zecher Yitzchak, he said, it's fine.
In a Jew, you don't circumcise.
In a Jew, you don't circumcise because he's Jewish. But over here, you have a problem. Because he's not going to be Jewish unless he goes through these three things. Mila, Tvila, and Kabbalah Samitzvah. So if you have only one of the three...
With a Jewish, you wouldn't be able to have a Korban Pesach.
You wouldn't be able to eat the Korban Pesach, so that might be a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. The Rashi and Tosfos discuss if you have two brothers that died because Echav Mesu Machmas Mila, and I couldn't, so I'm Onus, so it might be that I'm not necessarily considered an RL. But it's a very good point. So now what happens? Because technically, so the Zecher Yitzchak says, what do you mean? This is like the Psak and Shulchan Aruch, if you look at source number 5, where the Dalet in Shulchan Aruch, the Nichras Hagid, if his Aver is cut off, Ein milaso ma'akevet milas gayer v'sagile betfila, and the Gra quotes the Gemara in Yevamos that the Gemara says that there are certain people that it's eifshar, that if it's eifshar for them to have a mila, and the Gemara says who's eifshar? Woman, because they don't have an aver. So too a person whose aver was cut off. So therefore, where his aver was removed, so therefore the aver is not going to, the mila is not going to be an inhibition for him to become a Jew. And the Zecher Yitzchak said also over here, it's impossible. His blood won't clot. He's endangering his life, so it's impossible for him to undergo mila. And it's like Nichras Hagid. That was the psak of the Zecher Yitzchak. So Chaim Moser was there collecting money, and he said to this person who had two children that died already from this issue, and then he said, the third son, I already got a psak that he's not gonna meal. The tefillah alone, the Zecher Yitzchak paskin that he's Zecher. And the Chaim Moser responded, no, your son's a guy. If you don't undergo mila, there's no way for you to be Jewish. No one said you have to be Jewish. You could be it. There's no chiyah for the goyim to be megayer. And I'm sorry to say, said Reb Chaim Moser, but unless you undergo the three aspects of mila, of gerus, so you're not a ger. You don't say eifshar over here. By the case of Nichras Hagid, Reb Chaim Moser said, so that's taka impossible. There's no physical aver there. It's impossible for you to undergo mila. Like a woman, there's nothing to do. You can't. But by a person who has an aver, but he just has a certain situation that's going to inhibit it from undergoing the mila, Reb Chaim Moser paskin, that can't be, and you are goy, and you're not able to be a ger, unless you risk your life.
That man was a ger.
Yeah, correct. So, the Sridhar Ishe also wrote a few tshuvas on this topic, agreeing with the Psak of Reb Chaim Moser, and he brought another proof He said, the Gemara says, you know, in the times of the Gemara, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, a ger not only had to bring, had to accept Nitzas, Mila, and Tefillah. The Gemara says, he also needed to bring a carbon. So the Gemara asks, how do we know Bizman HaZeh, that we could actually convert converts, but we don't have a carbon, we're missing the carbon. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk to tell us that we could have converts. L'doro Seichem. And the Sridi Eish, he says, and if we didn't have a pasuk, and if there's no Beis HaMikdash, and it would be impossible to bring a carbon. So, well, of course you could be a... It's Yefshur. It's exactly like the Zecher Yitzchak is saying. If it's Yefshur, it's like Nechras Agid. So, of course you should be allowed, Bizman She'en Beis HaMikdash, to have a ger, to have a convert, without Korbanos. It's Svara. It's Yefshur. Sri Deish says, you see, we don't have such a concept. You see from the Gemara that it's not considered Yefshur. Just because there's an external reason inhibiting you from not being able to mekayim that aspect of Geirus, that doesn't necessarily mean that we forego. And he agreed with Reb Chaim Ozer and said that this person, this hemophilic, unfortunately, Baruch Hashem, it's not Lamais of Zman Hazeh, because there are injections that the people can take that they can, vitamin K?
It's multiple factors.
So that they have the ability to undergo the circumcision, but if you don't undergo the circumcision, so it's not acceptable. The Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Beis HaFrank, also agrees with this pshat, and he suggests that another proof to this shiloh, which is something that you were discussing, Henry, which is that what happens if you have a pregnant woman that was megayer during her pregnancy? So, on the one hand, the conception was when she was not Jewish. However, the birth will be when she's Jewish. So what happens to the kid? So the Gemara says, if she goes into the mikvah when she's pregnant, the mikvah helps for the child as well. And whatever, there's certain halachas that the Beis Din has to know about the fact that she's pregnant, fine. However, the Rishonim discuss what happens if there's a male fetus inside of her. So what happens? Is it just a ger right away once she comes out of the mikvah, like the mother? Or no? He needs also a mila. So that is the debate amongst the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim hold that right now it's considered like an akeva. There's no efsharis. We can't give a mila right now. So we view him as efshar, and we view him as if he's an akeva, as if he's a female. And it's just like you, it's similar to the way the Zecher Yitzchak said. The hemophiliac is efshar. However, the Har Tzvi said, the Tzvi Zecher, Rav Tzvi Beis HaFrank said, but if you look at the Ramban, he doesn't say so. The Ramban says that when he's born, he's actually born not as a full-fledged Jew. And he needs a mila shel gerus. And that's part of the process. And the Ramban proves from here, and this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch that we quote over here, that the Ramban proves from here that the Seder Hadvarim, although usually the Geirus process, the conversion process, you have the Mila prior to the Tefillah, the Ramban says, I see from the case of a pregnant woman that the Seder is not Ma'akev. It's not problematic if we switch the order. Because over here it's a mila, a regular mila shel gerus. We give him the mila as if he's a regular ger, and the mila can exist after and post the tefillah. So I see that this is a proof that the seder, the order, is not necessarily an issue. However, the Ramban held that this person, that's efshar, it's impossible for you to give him a mila at that point in time. Still, we said that he's not a ger just with the tefillah, because he actually has the physical makeup of a male. So therefore, if Sipe Zafrank says, you also see from the Ramban that this hemophiliac, this person, I'm sorry, it's Nebuch, but you can't become a ger, like Rav Chaim Ozer said, you can't become a ger unless you undergo the Mila, unless you actually, it's even the Ramban, the way he understood by Mubarak is Gaira. And your question is very valid, because the fact that the Ramban says that this Mila is going to be a Mila Shel Geirus, so there's going to be a Nafkamina La'alacha. Will this Mila be Docha Shabbos? According to the Ramban, absolutely not. You don't have a Jew. How can you be Docha Shabbos? You're converting him right now. However, according to the other Rishonim, no, he was already Misgayer. When she was pregnant, he's Misgayer. This Mila, when he's born, is actually a Mila Shel Mitzvah. And it will be Docha Shabbos.
It's only enough to mean if he's a hemophiliac. Otherwise, 8 days later, he just has a gris.
Correct. No, but the Shiloh is, if 8 days later, it falls out on Shabbos, do we have to push it off?
Okay, Shabbos.
Correct.
No, it's even more than that. Okay. A girl like that,
sorry,
his mother went to the mikveh. If you consider that he became a Jew, and the milah
right.
would end up being the regular milah of
right.
any baby who is a Jew,
right.
then you cannot do it before the 80.
Right.
But if you consider that he is not as a Jew, he is suspended.
Geirus,
the moment he gets born,
mm-hmm.
the geirus is already the obligation to make milah start right away.
Oh, immediately.
You don't wait about 8 days. There's no point in waiting 8 days.
So the question is, how does this, what does that have anything to do with Yisro? How am I plugging this into mm-hmm. the geirus of Yisro? This is a very nice shiloh or Chaim Ozer, the Shridish, and we happen to assume halacha l'maisa l'chumra that a person is not a ger. Unless he undergoes the mila, even if he is Baruch Hashem,
his man of the
brit. So it does.
We have a problem. When
so just to point out one. One second. That's true, but that wasn't a mila shalgeiris.
But that's what I'm saying, and they went there by Har Sinai. Or it was the question whether by Har Sinai. It was if Yisrael comes after Har Sinai.
Well, we're in Yisrael. We have the Krisin already in Yisrael. What's the case with Yisrael? So just to point out, Rabbi, before I forget, Rabbi Bleich has an article on whether or not, which is just no gay, it's an interesting to look into, whether or not one can accomplish the Mila with laser surgery. Because you can accomplish the Mila maybe without necessarily making this hemophiliac bleed. So he discusses the Imre Yosher as a tshuva, whether or not if you put medication on a person that will ultimately cause his orla to fall off, is that is that's invalid, so the Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva. What about if I'm pressing a button, like by laser surgery, is that considered my Maisa? It's a very interesting discussion that Baruch Hashem is not lamaisa because now we have the medication that a person can undergo it, but it's something to think about. That's what the Minchas Yitzchak presents. So Rabbi Bleich discusses the issue at length.
I think I saw that they're making improvement in Akedah.
That's by Shchita.
Shchita?
Yeah, but this is part of his discussion, and whether or not it's actually considered my Maisa when I'm controlling the laser surgery. It's very interesting debate, which is a little bit no gay. But how do you see it by Yisro? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says in the Pasuk in the beginning of this Yisparsha, by Yichad Yisro. So the Gemara says Nasa. The Gemara says Rav says Nasa b'sarach dudin chadudin. He'd shake by Yichad Yisro on Pasuk Tes. But the Gemara quotes from Shmuel another drasha. He said he took a knife and he was chodeh. He cut himself and he gave him a bris mila. So when Reb Chaim Ozer was saying this psak, when he was running around in Europe and he was saying that and he was making a rash because he couldn't believe someone paskin that this person's a ger, he said no, absolutely not, and he made a mechal that this person is not a ger, and people should know that this is not the case. So Reb Zalman Sarotskin was with Reb Chaim Ozer. And Rav Zalman Sarotskin said, I'll give you a proof that you're right from Parshas Yisro. Because the last of the Maramakomos, the Gemara tells us in Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis in Yevamos, the Gemara says, and this is a very important Gemara, the Gemara says that in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael did not practice the mitzvah of Bris Mila. And the Gemara asks why, but Midbar my time alo mal, Iba Yisema Mishum Cholsho de Urcho, either because they shouldn't be weak when they go travel, all the travelings, the masos of Hashem, the iba yisema mishum de lo nashiv lehu ruach tzfonis, or because there was a reason why the wind that would cure them after the bris mila, there was a wind that the Ribbono Shalom sent that wouldn't come in the midbar, and therefore they wouldn't ultimately be able to be healed. So during the years of the midbar, they didn't practice the mitzvah of bris mila. This has relevance because the Rishonim point out there that the Klal Yisrael only once brought the Karban Pesach through all the 40 years of the Midbar, which is fascinating, because they couldn't bring the Karban Pesach when they were all Arelim, when they didn't go undergo the mitzvah circumcision. But why is it that the Ruach Tzfonis didn't come? The Gemara goes on to say, Tisanya Kol Osan Arban Shana Shra Yisrael Midbar, the Braisa tells us, all the 40 years that they were in the Midbar, Lo Nashva Lahem Ruach Tzfonis. The Ruach Tzfonis, this healing Ruach, wouldn't come. My Taima, Iba Yisem Mishum De Nizufim Hava, the Iba Yisem Mishum De Lo Nivdor Ananeakav. The Gemara presents Mishum De Nizufim Hava because they were Chote, Rashi and Tosaf have a debate, either because of the Cheda Egel, or because of the Cheda Meraglim, so therefore they weren't Zocha to the Ruach Tzfonis. However, the Gemara presents another reason. The Ibayisema, the lo nivdar anonim akavos. Because if the Ruach Tzfonis would come, then all the anonim would dissipate. They would go away. And the Klal Yisrael and the Midbar needed the Anani HaKavod, so therefore, technically, they weren't able to practice this Mila. So Rav Zalman Sorotkin said to Rav Chaim Ozer, I have a proof to you. If the Gemara in Yevam has told us that for all of Klal Yisrael, it's a sakana to do the Mila in the Midbar, because the Lo Nivdar Anani HaKavod, and therefore the Ruach Tzfonis won't come, because they're in the Anani HaKavod, and if the Ruach Tzfonis comes, the Anani HaKavod are going to go away. And therefore, they couldn't mal themselves because they didn't have the healing item of the Ruach Tzfonis in order to heal. And Yisro, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, tells us by Yichad Yisro, he still circumcised himself. So you see that when it comes to the Mila for a mitzvah, okay, so if you're in a Sakana, obviously, you don't do the Mila when the baby's in a Sakana or when a Jew's in a Sakana. However, a ger, a hemophiliac, says Rav Zalman Sorotkin, you see from Yisro that he had to put himself in a Sakana, even if it was a sakana, he would still have to cut himself in a bris milah, because Yisro was in the midbar one by Yichad Yisro. So that was his Raya of Zalman Sorotkin Center, and Chaim Ozer was very excited with the proof. However, I'd like to suggest, it's a beautiful idea of Zalman Sorotkin, I'd like to suggest an idea of my own, which I later found in a sefer.
He's of Zalman Latoam.
Yeah, so I'd like to suggest that it might necessarily be an ironclad proof, and maybe one can still suggest, you know, whether halachically, obviously, we like the Masorah is, we possibly like Reb Chaim Ozer, but you don't necessarily have a proof from this week's Parsha, and maybe the Zeicher Yitzchak could work with the proof from Parshas Yisro. Why? If you look at the Pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu, and we go back a few Pesukim, Vayavo Yisro Chosem Moshe, Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin. By Yetze Moshe Likras Chosno. Moshe went out. We don't know where he went out to meet his father-in-law when he came. Vayishtachu, vayishaklo, and he hugged and kissed him. Vayishalu, yishal re'eyu, l'shalom. They asked each of them, their friends, how they're doing. Vayovol. There's a reason why I said yishal re'eyu, that they're friends. If you look at the Targum Yonasan on this pasuk, pasuk Zion, Targum Yonasan says, Unafak Moshe, and Moshe went out, mitchos anona, outside of the anona yakavod. Yikra lekedmes chamu, Usagiru Nashikle, to meet his father-in-law, and he kissed him, Vigayre, and then he converted him. So, explain to the Yonasan ben Uziel, how does the Targum Yonasan see anything in the pasuk speaking about Gayre? So he makes a fascinating diak. It says, Vayishalu ish l're'ehu. Re'ehu, the Gemara often says, V'lo la'akum. The person is re'ehu, that means we're referring to our fellow Jew. Exactly, the Gemara says that we don't have negicha when it comes to an akum, nezikin when it comes to akum. There are different halachas when it comes to the nezek and karen of a non-Jew. So that's exactly what's happening over here. Ish l're'eyu. It must have been that he converted him. However, I'm interested also in the other aspect. Why did Moshe have to go mitchus anane?
Why did Yonatan ben Uziel have to put him outside?
Yeah, why did Yonatan ben Uziel say that he went outside of the Anani HaKavod? Maybe he just went out to get, he went out of his oath to go meet his father. Who said anything about the Anani HaKavod? One second, so we'll get to this. We have to explain why. You look in Parshas Bahalosa, in the Mesha Chachma, when the Parsha of talking about the Misonanim, when Klal Yisrael was complaining, and the Rosh Hashanah sent an onesh, v'tochel b'kteya machana, and they were punished. And Rashi and the Meshech Chachma explains that these people that were complaining were the Gerim and the Erev Rav outside of the Anana Kavod. And the Meshech Chachma explains about Loscha, and this is, why is this? Because the Gerim were not found in the Anana Kavod. The Gerim's place amongst Eretz Yisrael, amongst Am Yisrael in the Midbar, was outside of the Anana Kavod. And that is the pshat in last week's part, and the pshat in the pasuk in Devarim, that by Melchamas Amalek, by Yinezev Becho Kol HaNechshalim Acharecha, Amalek is going to start off with who? They're going to start off with Hema Erev Rav, Hagerin. And that's by Yishma Yisro, and when Yisro heard Melchemes Amalek, Melchemes Amalek Shama Kishama Asher Lesiba Shemelchem Begerim Gerurim. In last week's parasha, in the Melchemes Amalek, in the beginning of this week's parasha, that Yisro said he heard about Melchemes Amalek, he's referring to the Melchama that only existed with the Gerim. And that's why Nochamu in Bnei Yisrael Lefi Charev, we fight with swords. The Gerim fights with swords. And Yisro heard the Melchama of the people that are that are in the back. They're outside the Anani HaKavod. So the Meshech Chochma says the place of Gerim is only outside the Anani. If that's the case, based on the Meshech Chochma, perhaps the Targum Yonasan and Uziel is presenting that it could be because of the Sakana, like you said. It could be because of the Ruach Tzfonis. That's only if you're sitting and you're encamped in the Anani HaKavod. Am Yisrael that sat in the Anani HaKavod, that their place was in the Anani HaKavod, they couldn't practice Bris Milah, because otherwise the Anani HaKavod would be removed. However, when it came to Yisrael, who Moshe Rabbeinu went out to meet his father-in-law from outside the Anani HaKavod, and then afterwards, V'gairei, so then he is not a Sakana for. He is not a hemophiliac. He is not in a sakana. He's not vayichad Yisro. It's a proof that he's putting himself in sakanas of bashos. He was encamped outside the Anani HaKavod. He was with the Gerim. And Baruch Hashem, after I said this chat, I found the Panim Yafos, the Afla, the Rebbe Chaim Sofer. He asks, how did Yisro put himself into a sakana to be Megayer? And he says it's not a problem, because Moshe Rabbeinu went outside the Anani HaKavod to be Megayer him. And you know what? The pasuk says afterwards that Aaron went with Yisro and they ate lifnei Elohim. Because afterwards, this might not be, afterwards they were able, once he became a full-fledged Jew, then he could come inside the Anani HaKavod and he could eat. And the Panim Yafos goes further, the other aspect of Geirus, that the pasuk says Yisro brought Olu Zvachim. And that, he explains, the Panim Yafos was the Karbanei Hager, was the other aspect of Geirus. And once he was Megayer, only then he could enter, and he wasn't in the Sakana, explains the Panim Yafos. And the problem with the Gemara in Yafos is not an, Gemara in Yavam is not an issue, because he was always outside of the Anani HaKavod, and I think according to the Targum Yonasan, you really understand the whole Shaila, not necessarily a Raya to the Shaila of Reb Chaim Ozer with hemophiliacs. Just one other leave off with a vort for the, once we're in the Targums, leave off with a vort for the Parsha, is that Yisro says one thing when he goes to Moshe, and he says, when he finds Moshe, and he says, Ati Yadati, Ki Gadol Adonai Mikol Elohim, Ki Badavar Asher Zadu Aleihem. And the Targum Unkelus says on this pasuk, Ke'an Yodono, Hare Rav Adonai V'les Eloha Bar Minei, Hare Pizgama, Dichashivu Mitzroi L'meidan Yos Yisrael. Unkelus says on this pasuk, I know how great the Ribbono Shel Olam. You want to know why? Because I know, I was an advisor of Paro. I know all the plans of what the Mitzrim actually wanted to do to Klal Yisrael. And only I can say how real great the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah, everyone sees the Nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf, of all the other Nisim that existed, but I know that there are many more Nisim. I know, explain the Brisker Rav, we think that there aren't ongoing Nisim every single second of the day. We know, we don't know. You want to know how you know? You have to ask the Goyim. We say in Hallel, Haluas Hashem kol goyim ki gavar aleinu chasto. All the goyim will praise because the Ribbono Shel Olam did for us chesed. Why are the goyim going to praise because they did for us chesed? The goyim will praise if they get a chesed. Klal Yisrael gets a chesed, the goyim are going to praise. We say it in Rosh Chodesh all the time. Halu es Hashem kol goyim ki gavar aleinu chasto. It doesn't make any sense. The explanation is exactly this, Targum Unkelus. The answer is the goyim know everything that they want to do to us. The Goyim know the nuclear warheads that they're building. The Goyim know all the attempted bombs that are really, that the Ribbono Shel Olam makes sure, miracles ongoing that we aren't even aware about. And that's why Yisro said, I was there. I know all the kavanas of Mitzrayim. I know the chashiva mitzvah lemeidan. I know how to praise. Alu es Hashem kol goyim. You should ask the goyim how to be mahalo ki gavar aleinu chasta.
You know, by the way, after the Six-Day War,